You're listening to Civic Media. You can tune into any of our live shows on any radio station across the state with the Civic Media app. Find us in your phone's app store and listen anytime, anywhere.
Coming to Northeast Wisconsin live from the Civic Media Studios and featuring TV and radio broadcast veteran John Mino, along with the City of Green Bay's longest serving mayor, Jim Schmidt. This is Mino and the Mayor.
Begin the day with a friendly voice, a companion unobtrusive.
And here are your hosts, John Mino and Jim Schmidt.
Hey, thank you very much. Welcome back. Hour number two of Mino and the Mayor here, 97.9 FM, WGBW, 98.3, 96.5 FM, WISS, and of course, the Civic Media app worldwide. We haven't heard from our guy, Mike. Did he get off of Mount Kilimanjaro or not?
Didn't he text us from Germany?
He's from Germany.
We haven't heard from him. Yeah, I'm not sure.
Okay. Special thanks, Andrew Parks, Brown County Civic Music Association. I think that's great what they're doing for being around for almost 100 years. And I love that Irish music. And the one person there, Carrie, that said she's going to that. And that just sounds like a great, great event.
And we get these guests in, and they talk about what they're promoting. And we knew the guy was in the symphony. I've seen him a couple times, French horn. His job is, we're going to get him back just to talk about his job. He, you know, people love to publish music, and there's a system to that, an art to that. And he is called a music engraver, which is the last step before it goes to publishing.
What does that mean exactly?
That's what we're getting on the
Todd
show.
Because Todd and I both, come back again.
So in the old days, obviously, they would have it, all the engravings and all that kind of stuff. They kind of like putting together a newspaper back in the day the typeface and all that kind of stuff. He said it's changed now, obviously, but yeah.
Same name, because it's the same concept.
Because it's the same concept. But he said you can actually go online and watch people actually put together music that way. And he goes, imagine one mistake.
Yeah,
right.
When putting all that typeface together and stuff like that. So
wow, you know, I've always wanted to stop at that museum at Two Rivers.
Yeah, that's a good one.
It was a woodblock museum or something.
Yeah, it's printing.
Printing museum. Yeah. I'd love to see that sometime. Mark Houston, Balance Sports Medicine, in the house.
Good morning, guys.
How you doing, buddy?
Hey, Mark.
Good.
Good to see you. So how pessimistic am I that I told you the weather's going to be really warm? I'm going to do walking out on the roads now, and inevitably my Achilles or something's going to flare up. Can I just get a prescription beforehand just to have it ready and waiting?
John just needs to learn to stretch.
Yeah. I'm not a good stretcher.
Okay. And not walk for like 10 miles.
Just because it's warm out. That.
I did. I looked. The next week is going to be a beautiful...
58 degrees.
I think I saw 61.
Oh, really? Wow. Yep. Love it.
Okay. Which is awesome.
Get in a lawn chair and listen to Meet the Press. Yeah.
That's what I'm going to do.
No, I'll wait till it's 70.
Absolutely.
I mean, that's pretty good weather,
I'll wait
though.
Till it's 70. Yeah, no, it's...
it is. It's going to be great.
Yeah.
Hey, no. You did mention something. Let's be honest. Let's just touch on that real quick. I'm not the only one that when the weather gets nice, I've been waiting for 6 months to... Get up and you just push it too hard because you're enjoying the weather.
Yeah. You know, I mean, you get one day that's beautiful out and then gets everyone just kind of going saying, hey, I want to be outside. I want to enjoy the weather. I want to do it. But then you overdo it.
Yeah.
And then you're paying for it and you start the cycle.
And I got to say something. You know, I felt kind of sheepish the day I was at your place because my Achilles. But I'll tell you what. There's lots and lots and lots of people walking through those doors at Bell and Sports Medicine who have done something
too. You know, and it's just, I mean, again, we've talked about this whole winter. We've been sitting around. We haven't been as active. And then the weather changes and talks 50s and 60s and there'll be 70s and people won't just want to sit. They're going to want to walk. They're going to want to run. They're going to want a bike. And they're going to want to do it on one day.
The hotter it is, the more I work out. Because I feel like I sweat that much more. And then when I get back, I take all my clothes off and I step on the scale. It's down like 5 pounds. I just feel like such an achievement.
Okay, let's move on. The scale thing is what threw me. Did you get a little queasy? So did I.
Well, okay. How did you? Okay. When you weighed in, when you were a wrestler, did you wear jeans and tennis shoes?
No.
Because you had to make weight.
Right.
So, I mean, that's what I'm saying. I'm like a high school wrestler.
Using your jock strap is all you wore.
When's the last time somebody wore a jock strap?
I don't know.
A jock strap in 25 years.
I'm just telling
right,
you.
Right, Mark?
You
they don't even
me,
make them anymore, do they?
I don't think so.
You asked me what, that's what everyone wore, right?
I don't know, Jim. I wasn't a wrestler. I thought they just wore a towel.
No, the towel.
Well, boxers a lot of times just wear towels.
Towel would be weight.
Towel would be way a lot heavier. That'd be a lot heavier.
Those wrestlers will tell you how much that towel weighs.
We talked about that. Do you remember that one boxer? He was. This was just a couple of years ago. Yeah. He was afraid of making weight, okay? So he just came down, you know, naked in a towel, and he had his trainers hold each end of the towel.
Around it.
And by him holding on to that, it took off like 2 pounds.
Well, I was just going to say, that's how, I think a lot of times with these fights now.
You got to make weight.
Yeah, and you're going to get fined if you don't make it, so... Yeah, they're going to make sure that you make weight, and they'll strip everything off.
Yeah. No, that's...
It's an art to it.
There were tricks they used to use for making weight. Wrestlers and those guys.
But, the water weight, X-Lax. Well, but then you got to get
back. But whatever the scale says, you know, once you weigh in, you're good. Then you can eat all the... lockers are
filled. Absolutely. Everybody did that.
That's what I mean. I bet your locker was full of, like, snacks.
And it wasn't healthy. It wasn't carrots and stuff. It was Twinkies. Apple pies.
Yes. Their lockers would be full of that stuff.
I will tell you.
Their lockers look like a gas station.
I think wrestlers, high school wrestlers and college, whatever, I think the knowledge and education of how to lose that weight and what you need to eat, I think is much better now than it was 20 years ago.
You weren't even joking when you said about the X-Lax
and rubber suits.
Like
rubber suits, but then it all came back. Right after.
But health-wise, now they're finding out what that does to your body.
Yeah, I mean, I will say, Subway, it's great. There's a lot of kids that a lot of kids will have that Subway, sub waiting after their weight.
Okay, a lot more nutritional than the junk. Like Johnny said, our lockers look like a gas station.
Junk food. Yeah.
That's funny.
Yep.
Yeah.
All right, so what's going on with Bellet and sports and all the great things you do in Greater Green Bay?
You know, I said, you know, one thing to kind of keep in mind, so last night there were WIA sectional girls semifinals. A lot of great wins. Some upsets last night.
Some huge games coming up. Like Kimberly, I forget, they're like number two, and they're going to be playing like the number one team in the state.
Yeah, they're playing Pewaukee, I believe.
Yeah.
They skirted by. Appleton East, I know, got a win last night on a huge win against Spash. It wasn't a long three-pointer. It was a long three-pointer at the buzzer.
Wow. Green Bay West boys won a tournament game the other day. And that was nice to see.
And we also, you know, so we got sectionals for the girls. We have regionals for the boys tonight and tomorrow.
Wrestling and, boys and girls going on around the
state. That's Team State. Yeah. We've got Coleman and Bayport in our area wrestling tonight.
We didn't give the shout-out yet to... I just want to say, Mark, we didn't give the shout-out yet to UWGB.
You're right.
80, they smoked them.
Smoked them. I was so good. I didn't want to get overconfident.
I said to...
Caleb was
number one in, seat, and then Oakland was 10. So I said to John, I said, well, this would be an easy one. He said, oh, no, don't say that.
Well, you know, and that's... I did wonder about that, because, right, they had a double bye. They have to play two games. And I've always wondered, like, is that an advantage or not for that division or that number one seed?
Yep.
I agree.
That's true.
You know, I mean...
You were talking about some other high school things, and I heard...
But congratulations, UW Green Bay women, moving down to Indianapolis now for the semifinals of the conference tournament.
Right.
Right? Quarter or semis? Semis. Because if you got the number one seed, you move into the semis with one win,
is that
right?
What it is?
Yeah.
I don't know.
I thought they had a double bye, so then that would mean that
in
they
the
were...
finals? They put him in the finals?
That would put him into the finals.
Oh, I thought that was just semifinals.
I don't know.
No, they still have to play semis.
She was on here, and I think they got a step before that.
So you're probably right. This weekend they play semis, and then probably like Tuesday they would play
the finals.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So, you know, I mean, it's just a great time, you know, for college and high school. And I think the biggest thing is, like you said, if you have it, it's not even just about your hometown. Get out and support, you know, make the drive for 20 minutes to some of these gyms.
The atmosphere is worth the trip.
And I tell people, check it again. Check the schedules today, because sometimes you get upsets and they'll move games. Like I believe DePere, I think, was supposed to host two schools, and they hosted maybe West DePere last night. And I think they won big over Menasha. But it's just one of those things of some great action coming up. And then next week, right around our area, they're going to host
the state
tournament.
And what is your role in all of this? Like Bellin and you personally?
Yeah, I mean, I don't have to do cover much for games, but we do have a lot of athletic trainers that are out covering, making sure medical coverage is appropriate at these games. You know, we don't want to see an injury, but we want to make sure we're there. It includes fans.
Did you see the thing, Mark? This was a national story. Women's college basketball game somewhere where somebody in the stands, I think, had a heart attack.
I was just going to ask that.
Did you see that?
No, right? I mean, there's thousands of fans there, five.
I didn't see it, but, you know, I've always said, you know, when we get these AEDs.
I mean, they stop the game.
Yeah, it's not always for the athletes. It could be grandma or grandpa. It could be.
Right. Right.
I mean.
What I'm saying is, are you guys, I don't want to say in charge, but if something happens to anybody in that gym, are you guys the ones?
Yeah, they're going to be looking towards us.
And you're the responders?
To be honest with you, I would also sit there and say, there are so many great people, from nurses to doctors to, you know, someone who's got a health knowledge, you know, a FIED teacher that, you know, and to step up. That's what's huge of, you know, sometimes the most important person is, how do you get that ambulance guy or gal in the gym? Oh. You know, like, where to park? You know, or where are they coming? Because some of these places are packed, you know, so it's a big deal.
It is. And I think it takes more than one person. And sometimes you call this, you do that. You know what I mean? You got to kind of order people around.
Well, okay, if it looks like somebody had a heart attack and they've got so many of those defibrillators now.
Oh, yeah.
In gym, whose job is it to grab that thing off the wall? And
well, there's one in my truck right now. It's a lot of our staff has them. So it's so that we carry them with them. With our staff, they're right there.
But anybody can do it.
Correct.
But you got to read the instructions.
No, it's they voice the instructions now.
Well, here's the biggest thing to remember with an AED. Biggest thing you can remember, take away from today, turn the unit on. Because if you turn the unit on,
right,
it'll walk you through the steps of what you need to do.
The teacher's right there.
Hey, next time you come here, I'm not even joking about this, would you bring one in and could we try it? Like, could we see what it's like?
Actually, I'll bring...
So I've never really seen one in action.
Well, I'll bring one in, but I'll bring one of our trainers in, and then we can play out a trainer scenario with it.
Okay.
Because that'll tell you, it'll say, plug the pads in.
Right.
It'll say, analyzing heart rhythm. It'll say, don't touch the patient. Because that's another big thing. That's probably it's just as important. When it finally comes to where you need
to... don't touch the person?
So you're going to be doing chest compressions.
Okay.
But at some point, that AED, what it's doing is it's analyzing the heart rhythm of the patient who's laying there. So if you're touching the patient, is it picking up your heart rhythm?
Got
or
it.
Is it picking up the person who doesn't have a heart rhythm? The same thing of when it says shock, probably the next biggest thing is to look at everyone and say, don't touch, clear. And make sure everyone is clear.
That's like in all the movies, right? Yeah.
Clear! And we all joke about it. I mean, you always laugh.
You're right.
But it's one of those things, if Jim's sitting there touching the person, and I hit shock, and he's touching him, he may get the shock.
Wow.
And, that would be kind of funny. You got to really...
I mean, him getting the shock. I'm going to be honest with you. I'm not trying to sound weird. But it would...
Can we try that? Out of the four people in this room, I think... The one that we'd be using the defibrillator on is...
Wow.
I'll take the shot.
I got a 20%
chance. We're going to have some good stories if that ever happens.
Don't take any pictures when you're doing that, okay?
Can't do.
Mark Houston, Bellin Sports Medicine, in the house with us. Stay with us.
That tonight's going to be a good night. That tonight's going to be a good night. That tonight's going to be...
You're listening to Civic Media. Stay up to date on the latest news and information for your local community and Wisconsin by signing up for our free email newsletter. Visit civicmedia.us/email to get started.
Hey, welcome back. Mino and the Mayor here on a beautiful Monday morning. 25 degrees in Green Bay, 27 in Hampton, 26 in Oshkosh. It's going to be about 39 today and going up from there, possibly 60 degrees early next week. We've got Mark Houston, Bellin Sports Medicine, and we're talking about that. I'd be curious to know people out there. Oh, and by the way, first of all, I have to say, make sure you wish Mark a very happy National Athletic Training Month from Allison.
All right.
Well,
I didn't know it was National Sports Trainers Month.
Yeah, March is. It's awesome. We've got 35 athletic trainers that, you know, Jim asked, you know, where we're at. We have 35 athletic trainers that are out at our schools. We have another 20 that are in clinic. That's our...
Is this your busiest month of the year?
No. Oh. I'd probably say September, October is. But I would say our athletic trainers that work at Bellin and all in our area... they just do an amazing job. behind the scenes. So thank you for all the athletic trainers. And if you have an athletic trainer at your schools, just thank them. Just say, appreciate you being here. Happy National Athletic Training Month. It is a big deal. I think they all appreciate it. So if
just
you,
do more than Todd did with Employee Appreciation Day.
Yeah, that was huge. Huh?
Wait a minute. Wait a minute, guys. Every day is Employee Appreciation Day around here.
He does clean our desk.
He does.
Just clean your desk?
He does.
Prep every bit of the show.
Okay, can I just say something?
No, Todd.
You know what? I wish he'd wait till we leave because I feel like it's one of those things. Oh my God, these guys are so filthy and germ infested. We gotta clean this for everybody.
It's kind of like maybe you guys should do what most people do when they have housekeepers. They clean a little before the housekeeper comes. That would be nice.
You ever see how much Lysol they use after we leave the studio?
Yeah, they do spray this down.
God, real good.
Got a text here. Please remember your pet's muscles get sore too. Because it's been a very long winter for them, Coach Kathy.
Well, you know, I think I listened to Jim the other day, and I think someone was laughing, but it's, you know, like you have dogs or, you know, sometimes people put those booties on. Yeah. You got to remember, it's just like we've talked about walking your pets on hot asphalt. Yeah. When you put the salt out there it's cold, so... The booties are not the worst thing out there.
But they don't, some of them don't like the booties.
No, they don't.
We tried those, so he knows he's smart enough.
Seems like they get caught in the nails or in the claws, doesn't it?
Yeah, not really. I don't know about that. They just, it's so awkward and they walk different and it's funny to watch them walk. When he comes in, he knows we have to wipe his feet off.
Yeah.
He just stands there until it's
done. Just lick him clean?
No.
Really?
Salt?
That most dogs do. No? No. No. Okay. All right. Hey, I want to say one thing about you guys, though. What a profession. And I got to see you guys, you know, firsthand when I was there a few weeks ago with my Achilles thing. But, boy, you guys, it's just like, I don't want to say like an assembly line. I don't mean it that way. But I mean in a very just boom, boom. You go to some point and you sit and you wait. And then somebody comes and looks at you and it's like another 45 minutes. You guys are like, okay, John, boom. First guy gets you.
I think our one thing there was access to get in and efficiency.
Efficiency is the word I was trying to come up with.
My word is customer service.
Yeah, and that's what it turns into.
Your parking's easy. Yeah. Access is easy. You walk in there, you feel welcome. I love your foyer or whatever.
Yeah, and I'll be also honest with you that, you know, you go to emergency rooms, and right now emergency rooms are we're packed tight.
Hey, Mark, I must not have paid close enough attention last week when you started talking about that a little bit over the phone about emergency rooms these days, the backup, and how maybe some folks don't really. Would you expect? Because I had somebody say, "Hey, I didn't quite get what he was saying."
Yeah. So
and I didn't either. So go ahead.
Let's say you have a cold cough, and you're on day two. My suggestion is try some over the counter stuff. Like, don't run in on day two. Now you've had it for maybe a week. Try your primary care physician or an urgent care or a fast care location. Too many people are running to the emergency rooms, and you can be treated for that at an emergency room. But you have to remember, if you have a car accident, you have heart attacks, if you have whatever going on, and we know at night,
people slipping on the ice and breaking their arms.
But so they're going to prioritize, and your cold cough is not going to be seen as quick as a person who just had a heart attack or was in a six-car pileup on the highway.
And you guys spent a lot of money building those urgent cares for that reason. You can go in there for $40, whereas you walk in, you step into an emergency room, it's at a minimum of $800. Just stepping in there.
You're right.
You're okay.
Yeah.
You're still going to get a bill.
And
it's because you got the top-notch. I mean, you got
it's having great docs, but it's saying, I think some people feel like they need to be treated now and within 2 days. And it's like, you just started your symptoms. Like, a lot of places may not even put you on meds because you take some over-the-counter meds and you'll be fine. And if you're looking for a prescription in med, you're not going to always get it.
I think those urgent cares are awesome.
Yeah. So it goes back of, you have to kind of self-assess yourself and say, do I really need, I've got a cold cough. No. Do I need to go to the emergency room? And when you get there and now you got other people with cold coughs and you're taking a spouse or kids, and then you got someone in a bar fight or someone with a heart attack that is in the back. They're going to be prioritized before you.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, absolutely, that triage. But there's bee stings, all that kind of stuff. But I think maybe you need to re-educate the community again on why you spent all that money on urgent cares and how quick the service is. And they will tell you if you need to go to the next level. I know that's a feeder for your hospital, but it.
I think it's a great point too with that, because I was just thinking about this. Like, if you go to some of our, we had fast care locations, they don't have X-ray there. So if you think you're going there for a, to get an X-ray, you're not going to be seen. They're going to see you, but they're going to say, oh, we're going to set you up with maybe primary care or an orthopedic doctor for an X-ray. So you have to think about, what do you think you're going in for? And I get it. Not everyone's an expert in healthcare, but you got to think about, is this the right avenue to go?
Yeah. I should say, my neighbor got bit by a dog. She's, yep. I don't know, she was 20. And just, there was a lot of blood, but it wasn't that big of a bite. Oh, to the emergency. Can you take me to the emergency room? And I looked at it and I said, we can go to the urgent care. So we went there. And once you wipe it off, it wasn't, so then she had her wedding ring on. And it was pretty tight. And the nurse who was there, she goes, we're going to have to cut this off. She goes, my finger? First of all, they wouldn't do that at an urgent.
That's cute.
Anyway, so we cut the ring off and gave it to her.
It's a timing too. You know, I mean, I tell people a lot of times, call your primary care doctor sometimes,
right,
and say, you know, hey, I got bit. Can you see me? I'll admit, Jim, when you're talking about that, I ended up in the emergency room one time because I split my head open, but it was like 6:30. All of our docs were gone.
Yeah.
So I ended up in the emergency room.
Split your head open. That's pretty serious.
It looked a lot worse than what it was.
And they do. Yeah. So, well, thanks for what you're doing.
Was this during your college, Chase?
No, this is actually when I was an adult working for Bell and Owl.
We got to start a quick break. Come back. Gail Norton and Paula Jolly from Veterans First will join us. Stay with us.
For WGBW and WISS News, I'm Lisa Hale. More federal offices across Wisconsin may be closing, targeted by the Department of Government Efficiency. The office led by billionaire Elon Musk had already released a list of at least 6 governmental offices to either be eliminated or reduced in Wisconsin. Now there are 16 of them. 2 are in Green Bay, 1 is in Shawano. Musk's team is planning to close an office used for Social Security Administration appeals in Green Bay and an office for the U.S. attorneys in Green Bay. The Bureau of Indian Affairs location in Shawano is also slated to be closed. Other leases terminated statewide include offices for Fish and Wildlife, Federal Motor Carrier Safety, the USDA, and the Internal Revenue Service. The largest office on the closure list is the Bureau of Indian Affairs location in Ashland. They employ at least 40 employees. It's not clear whether they will keep their jobs. It looks like cuts to Medicaid will happen. Savannah Tomei Olson has that story.
The House passed a resolution to reduce the energy and commerce budget by $880 billion over the next 9 years in order to extend President Donald Trump's tax cuts. Analysts say there's no way they'll be able to reduce the budget by that much without slashing funding to Medicaid. Here in Wisconsin, 1.2 million people get their coverage through Medicaid. That's 18% of the population. That includes 1 in 3 kids and more than half of nursing home residents.
Spring is on its way, and the Wisconsin DNR is encouraging people when planting their gardens to consider native plants like Joe Pieweed that look great and benefit pollinators, while avoiding non-native invasive species like garlic mustard and buckthorn. I'm Lisa Hale for WGBW and WISS News. For news anytime, visit civicmedia.us.
Ready. While the teams get ready to choose their top draft pick, you can help Mino and the Mayor choose their top craft pick.
Northeast Wisconsin is home to amazing breweries, wineries, cideries, and distilleries, and we need your help picking the best.
We've drafted 10 of our favorites, but which local craft beverage creator will go to number one? That's up to you. Mino and the Mayor's top craft pick, drafting Northeast Wisconsin's finest one sip at a time. Now, back to Mino and the Mayor. Here's John Mino and Jim Schmidt.
Hey, welcome back. Special thanks to Mark Houston, Bell and Sports Medicine. Once again, when you go to those ball games this month, throughout the entire month pretty much for high school sports and all that, it's just, they will be there. They'll be manning their posts.
I'd say 25, 30 people there. That
32, I think.
32 throughout the thing. And you made a good point that, they would help in the stands too, because you got 5,000 people. I mean, there's only 100 people on a court, but yeah, that's great that they do that.
Yeah, they do a phenomenal job. Also, special thanks to Andrew Parks earlier. Brown County Civic Music Association, huge event coming up at the PAC at Ashwaubenon High School on Sunday with that Irish music. Sounds great. And then a little get-together afterwards, St. Brendan's. But right now, we're going to talk about something else. We got Gail Knorr from
Veterans First of Northeast Wisconsin.
And we've got Paula Jolly from
Mandolin Foundation.
Which is?
We run Amanda's House, a sober living for women and children.
There you go. Well, let's start with Gail. Where are we at with Veterans First? I've been following it, of course, every day. There's something. But Gail's been a process. Where are we right now?
Well, we got about two-thirds of the funding raised already for the entire village. And our last step here is to get what they call a ground-penetrating radar on the property to make sure that there's no disturbance of anything.
I just want to say one quick thing here. I got a text that says, say hello to Gail from Jeff and Kathy Orlowski.
Hi, Jeff and Kathy.
And Jeff also texted me during our last segment and said, John, they still do make jock straps.
Yeah, right. Jeff is on our landscape committee.
That's all awesome.
Right. His wife is awesome.
Yes, she is.
So go ahead. I'm sorry. Pick it up again where you're at there.
So we're doing the ground penetrating radar, hopefully done this week, and we should get the results in a couple of weeks. Our archaeologist is also working with the State Historical Society, so everything's on the up and up, and we're going to do what we need to do.
Whatever hurdle and hoop you have to get through and over, huh?
Yep.
Awesome. Two-thirds funding. You got to feel pretty good about that.
Yeah, that's pretty. The community support and the veteran support is amazing. It is just awe-dropping. It's amazing.
Who did I see you guys got a really big donation to just recently?
Packers.
The Packers, yeah.
$250,000.
That's phenomenal.
And Schneider, $100,000.
Beautiful.
And another one that I can't mention yet.
Okay.
That's awesome. And, you know, with two great organizations that give a lot.
Yes, I mean, they do
have
a lot.
The city without them.
Yeah, and very veteran supportive, both of them.
No question about it. So you guys are your builders, your excavators, all these people are pretty much standing by waiting for their green light, huh?
Yeah, we got about 250 volunteers.
Wow.
We got 75 partner agencies. Everybody's ready to go.
But you're two-thirds of the funding for, the total's 19, right?
The total amount?
No, the total amount
of homes?
Yeah.
21 homes.
Oh, it's 21.
Plus a large community center.
I knew the community center. So this is two-thirds for all 21?
Yeah.
Oh, wow. So I thought you were going to do it in phases. That's what I was asking.
Yeah, we are going to do it in phases, but because we got pulled back a little bit, we want to combine phase one and two.
Okay.
Do you have a sponsor for the community center, did I see?
Not yet.
Okay.
We are working on that.
But there was something that was sponsored already, wasn't it?
Yeah, the Schneider sponsored the lobby.
Oh, okay. Got it. All right. How much would it be for Jim and I to sponsor the community center?
Well, the community center is $500,000, but you talked about the museum for $100,000.
$100,000?
$100,000.
You're going to pay me $100,000 to run your museum?
No! Oh. You're going to pay
sponsored
me
$100,000.
Oh, there you go. Yeah. Well, another job where I pay to show up to you, Jim.
There you go.
That's the golf outing, right?
That's right.
Yeah. So, and Paula, you do something in this community that's very, very important and quite successful. And talk just a little bit about Sober House for Women and Children.
Sure. So we opened Amanda's House on March 16th of 2022, and we had a wait list within 3 days.
Mm-hmm.
We've had a consistent wait list of over 60 women.
You know what's cool? Both of you are finding places for people who need a little help to live under a roof in a very safe, comfortable mm-hmm. manner. That cannot be understated. Jim deals with homelessness. I dealt with homelessness in Appleton. This cannot be understated what you people are doing, putting people under roofs in a secure situation.
Yes. Yeah.
They got to be safe.
Yes.
I still say the most dramatic thing I can watch any seminar, I can watch whatever documentary. When we had this guy that looks like he played linebacker for the Chicago Bears and talk about how scared and afraid he was at nights being homeless and sleeping because he didn't know what was going to happen to him once he closed his eyes. When I look at a guy like that, much less when I walk around this town some Sunday mornings and I see in the doorways like women just with a blanket wrapped up around them and everything.
Yeah.
Jim, we've talked about that.
Yeah.
You know, there's a side to Green Bay people don't see. You know, right now, go walk the streets. They're phenomenal. Come here on a Saturday morning or a Sunday morning and see what it's like. And for you folks to do what you're doing to put people inside of places, that can't be understated.
All right. And I think what needs to, there are resources out there. The guy that Johnny's talking about, sat just where you are. And he was. He slept behind the police station because he didn't want to get, you know, and beaten up at night. And tried some things, and then he came through our program, and now he's... comes back, he volunteers, he's got an apartment, he pays taxes, and
saved his life.
But that's a process, and you got to have a place to start. And you know that sober living is, you know, there's no drinking at our place at all. I mean, we breathalyze, and that's just part of it. And that's hard. It's hard to recover.
Right.
But it's
right.
not impossible because people do it every day.
Nope. Jim's at New Community Center.
Oh, okay. Yeah.
So tell me about your place. How many families do you have there? Are you looking at? Are you expanding? Are you at? Where are you at?
Yep. So we were leasing the old Blessed Sacrament Church on North Webster for 2.5 years. And just in December, the church sold us the building for $1. So we're now able to start fundraising to
John, see that? Expand. Now that's something you could have afforded.
I know. And then what do I always do? I want to remodel a church and live in it.
He does.
I do.
And it's zoned for that.
And you know where I want to sleep? I want to sleep up in the bell tower. I really and truly do. That's my dream.
Hunchback of Notre Dame. The Hunchback of Green Bay.
Absolutely.
Yeah. I'll help John out. I will double your investment if you sell it to me and give it to John. His birthday's coming up.
Yeah, so. It'd be a nice birthday present.
$2.
Although anyway, he is buying me a wine tasting thing, so I'll go with that.
So you're at the church. I know where you are on North Webster. Yep. It's zoned for obviously residential. And what's next?
Can you just? I'm sorry. I just want to put my head north. Where is it? What would it be by?
Getting towards the highway.
Okay.
Day and Webster.
Day and Webster.
Oh, perfect.
There's a fire station there.
Yeah, now I know exactly what you mean. Okay, Day made it. Okay, go ahead. Yeah. That was my landmark.
So we're going to start expanding and doubling our capacity because it's not unusual at least once a week to get a phone call from somebody. They're homeless. They're living on the street, even with their kids. Couch hopping. Living in a storage unit.
You know, I'm going to be honest with you. I'm not trying to sound melodramatic, but I mean, those were the hardest calls I used to take when I was at the Veterans Village in Appleton. And it'd be like this cold night. I'd be ready to leave work. And somebody would say, hey, do you guys have any vacancies? I'd be like, well, we're not that kind of a place. You know, we're totally long-term leases and all those kind of things. And he says, well, I checked with other homeless shelters, and they're all full. There's no. I'm like, well, then what are you going to sleep? Well, I'm going to sleep in my truck. Right. And it's like, I mean, I'd grab blankets. I brought sleeping bags to be, you know, it's like you're helpless.
Yes.
And I couldn't get a hotel room for him. I was going to buy him a hotel room. It was the night before a Packer game. So it was like $350 for any hotels, like Super 8 even. It was, I mean, it's a helpless. When you can read about it, you can whatever. When you're talking to that person and they tell you they're going to be sleeping in their car and you know it's going to be below zero. Wow, is that a helpless, terrible feeling?
It's really hard. Well, when I was at the County Veteran Service Office, I got a lot of calls like that.
Just like
veterans.
That, right?
Yep, and we have 17 veterans on our wait list right now that I'm trying to help.
You know what I wish? I wish there would be a school someplace. And just even like, you know, those shelters when there's a hurricane or something. Oh. Even with just cots or something like that where they could go to. Because, I mean, where was it, in Detroit or Milwaukee? Like two kids died. They were sleeping with their mom in a car. Detroit, and it was hypothermia. And
oh, that was that's a
terrible.
There's a lot of bad things that happened before that happened.
Yeah,
and
absolutely.
What we have to do is get in front of it and get them connected with, you know, the sober living or the some veterans things or the new community shelter. But they've before it's too late. That's a very sad story. I'm sure you found that the mayor's on TV and he's you know it's.
That's why we're here today, because there's a Wisconsin Association of Sober Housing.
Oh.
Convention today at the Kroc Center from noon to 4:30. So it's like getting all the people from sober living together and figuring out what can we do to get more funding to open or expand more places like this.
And I know where your heart lies. I imagine there probably are some veterans involved with that, right?
Yep.
Yeah. Cool.
So the Jackie Nitschke Center will be there. There's a few. Yep. I remember going to the ribbon cuttings for those, and they work. Those things work. And if you have on site, right, somebody's living in there that is kind of the house mother or whatever you call it.
Yep.
We call them RAs when I was in school.
Yeah. But, we call them house managers, same thing. Yeah. Yeah. A couple long term people.
Right.
That's
such a part of their recovery. I mean, then you got to get jobs, and there's a lot of stuff that has to happen. There's a lot of soft skills, but that's you know, again, safety, food, and then you got to start working on some other stuff.
Yep.
Was it an RA that kicked you out of the dorms at St. Norbert for smoking?
No, I was the RA.
Oh, you were the RA.
You kicked yourself out?
3 years. I used to bust people for smoking weed.
Oh, is that what it was?
Yeah.
But yet you put a sign on your door, do you want to get high on Saturday?
That's a different story. Let's go back to these guys. The reason I put a sign on my door, do you want to get high on, that was like two Saturdays. I gave a couple weeks out. I wanted to get a group of people to go skydiving. And if we got if we got 20 people, it was like half the price and it went with like four or five of us. So, and I put a sign in the cafeteria, you want to get high, call room 312, which is where I live. And
and he was the RA.
And people called and we got 20 people and we all went out there and went skydiving.
Evidently the prom or whatever they call those guys didn't walk through, huh?
The RD? What do you mean?
Oh, what's that priest called? It's a higher level.
Oh, yeah.
Prom, P-R-A-E-M or something?
The prior?
No, it's some other thing, isn't it?
We didn't have a we had an RD.
Like retired priests, aren't they called the prom? There's a term. Yeah, prame. He's the prama. Prima. You know what I mean?
Yeah, it's not the prom. That's...
Well, whenever you see a priest die, like I just saw in the obituary, it's like prom, reverend, yada, yada, yada. There's a term for that.
Hmm.
I'm surprised you guys don't know. Somebody from St. Norbert, let us know.
St. Norbert had...
Wow, I'm the authority on religion today.
St. Norbert had RAs on every floor, and RD, which are resident assistants, and then RD was the resident director. And we got a free room and some food. Anyway, it was great. Back to you. So you guys are both helping people kind of get stability in housing, which is front page of the paper very, very often. And how is your funding coming around, Jolly? Tell me a little bit about...
So our residents pay to live there. We call them program fees. And then we also get some grants. We just, because we have 3 years in, we're starting to get some little bit bigger grants.
Get some traction.
Yeah.
Good for
outstanding.
You.
Gail Knorr, Veterans First of Northeast Wisconsin. Paula Jolly, the Mandolin Foundation. Outstanding. I used to play the mandolin.
That's not what it says. It's Amanda. Yeah. It's
mandolin.
It's mandolin, like the musical
Paula's
instrument?
Daughter.
My daughter's name was Amanda Lynn.
Oh!
Okay, that's what I mean.
You're listening to Civic Media. Find the latest news, information, and archives of all your favorite shows on the Civic Media website, civicmedia.us.
I get a check on Friday, but it's already spent. Working for a living. Working for a living. Working for a living.
Mino and the mayor will be right back. They're on the phone with Mino's son, Dom, who has some information about what they were talking about before the break. So, Jim, what is the, what's the inside?
John's kind of right.
So I called Dom. Yep. Dom's an authority on religious things.
He is. And when you enter the
order,
the order, you receive that title. So they have that title their whole life.
And how do you spell it?
I think it's Premonstraemsis.
There you go.
So, and how do you say that?
They just abbreviate it. this guy's Primo.
We'll go with that. Yeah. Okay. We're with Gail Knorr, Veterans First in Northeast Wisconsin, Paula Jolly of the, what's the name of it again, Paul?
Mandolin Foundation.
Mandolin Foundation, just to make sure I get that right. Gail, what more can we do, just people in the community, to help you folks?
We are having a fundraiser April 5th to raise up funds for our 11th home that will be called the AmVets home. So they have already donated $25,000 and they're looking to raise, and the state donated $5,000. So they're looking to raise the extra $11,000 to name it the AmVets home at the Duck Creek Pub April 5th at noon. And you can win half a cow, half a pig, and seven more meat bundles from Pelkins Meats.
Nice. We were just talking about Pelkins. Who were we talking about that?
What are you doing with the other half?
Yeah, I know.
Well, you get a gift certificate, so you can get it as much as you want.
Okay.
Nice. Okay. By the way, when you say Duck Creek Pub, that's the former Duck Creek VFW, right?
Correct.
Okay.
Right by, you just, a Velp in the take right, a right.
Yeah.
Right
by there. Rivers Bend.
Right, same parking lot.
You share that. Okay, I got it.
I don't think... Rivers Bend enjoys sharing that parking lot with when we do events at the
Deck Creek,
but they're always cool about
but
it.
But at noon, it's cool.
Yeah.
And we would do a breakfast thing over there. They don't mind it then. But yeah, that's a great supper club.
Yeah.
And they're busy at night. So that's why.
Anyway, so fundraiser, once again,
April 5th.
Okay.
At noon. Yep. And tickets, or is it, tell me how this works.
No, you just show the tickets for the meat the big meat ruffler, so $10 a piece. It's free.
Oh, it's free to get in. That's what I was asking.
Awesome.
All right, and then just so bring your money, bring your credit card.
Yep.
Okay, yeah, I get it. All right.
When you're there, order a Johnny Juice.
What's that?
It's a special orange juice they make for me when I do all of my veterans things there. They okay. will know what it is.
All right.
It's a code, Johnny Juice.
Got it.
All right, you'll enjoy it.
Most people just call it a screwdriver. Okay, so what?
This is more than a screwdriver, my friend.
All right. So, Paul, I want to talk a little bit more about this sober house for women. Mm-hmm. And you allow kids in there, which is, that's a little different, right?
Yep, yep. So when we opened in March of 22, we were the only one in Northeast Wisconsin.
Yeah.
Yep, that allowed their children to live with them.
That brings a whole different element to it for you guys then, too, doesn't it?
It does. Yeah. It does. Some is good, some is hard.
Now bet.
And they pay, and that's called the programming fee.
Yep.
Are there programs that go with living there?
Yes, yes. We bring in outside resources to do education. We work with them. They get case management while they're there, mm-hmm. peer support, all kinds of different things.
I was
all
a case manager and a peer support there for a mm-hmm. while.
Oh, that's great. Well, good for you. Okay. And people need to know that we have that here in Green Bay. And I think we do a pretty good job with sober houses. I think we have more than I think people know.
Right.
And they just fit into the neighborhood.
Yeah.
It's not like it's different. It's not like it's a business. It's just where people are living to recover.
Right.
Yeah.
And the thing is, it's not like there's a problem and here's the complete solution. This is going to be an ongoing thing for
they'll be there
through history.
Yep. Absolutely. Because it is a family disease.
Yeah. No question about it. I'm just impressed both you guys devoting your lives to things like this. Yeah. I mean, because it's not as easy as people think. Oh, that's great. You, Gail, how many nights have you had just like sleepless nights and wondering if it's worth it and all the hassles and the whatever?
I know it's worth it.
Okay.
I've been sleeping okay.
Oh, excellent.
Well, I had PTSD, so I've been through it.
Yeah.
So this is not as bad as that.
Right.
So I'm okay.
Good for you.
And the cause is the main thing. Helping veterans is what I want to do.
That's outstanding.
For the rest of my life.
Love it. You and me both.
Yep.
All right.
I was a hospital corpsman in the Navy taking care of severely injured Vietnam vets.
I know.
That never leaves.
Well, you know, we had the people on the other day, and it was a really interesting story, because I think it was the Press Gazette, and that had a big article about it the next day, how they need more dispatchers
yes.
and everything. And one of the issues was, and we talked about them, about the post-traumatic stress a lot of those people deal with, simply because you can't unsee certain things, and it just won't go away. Yeah.
And a lot of females have a lot of trauma.
This
as
was
well.
A female. This was yep. a female dispatcher.
There's that sexual trauma that can be very PTSD, and you know, it just never goes away unless you get the proper treatment.
Right, and then that can control it, but it probably won't go away. Right.
Right.
They can. The way I've gotten it from guys, they take that and then they found a way to at least put it in this closet in their brain, and just their struggles just keep that door closed.
And sometimes we self-medicate to try to alleviate the problem, but that causes more problems.
Right.
Sometimes they're about 90% of the times at first, right? Mm-hmm. Let's right. be honest, yeah.
And
yeah.
Paul, what called you to sober homes for women?
Sure. So my daughter, Amanda, she struggled with addiction for over 10 years. During that time, we just saw that there was such a need for more sober housing, and especially for sober housing for women and their kids.
Has she recovered?
No, unfortunately, she lost her battle on February 10th of 2020.
So sorry.
Yeah, sorry about that. Yeah.
So sorry.
Well, the blessing out of that is you're here.
And you're right? trying to prevent others from being in those situations, correct?
Right. Yep.
God bless you. That's fantastic. Good for you. Good right. for you. All right. Well, Gail, let us
good work,
keep
both
us,
of you, like Johnny
both
said.
Of you, yeah, both of you, please keep us in the loop here as to what we can do to help in any way.
Okay.
Okay?
Yes,
this
sure
is so important. It's so wonderful what you're doing.
Thank you.
So all we're right, here for you good. Both.
All right.
Thank you, John.
Thank
all
you.
Right.
All right. Take care.
You bet. Thank you once again. And once again, April 5th, fundraiser at the Duck Creek Pub, formerly Duck Creek VFW, which is where we've done our Veterans Day breakfast for 25 years, I think it is. Isn't that amazing?
That's amazing.
Oh, my gosh. The cool thing is, one time when I was there and one of the ladies brought out some pictures from the first ones, I'm like, did you take this last week? They're like, no, this was 25 years ago. You just haven't aged. That's what they said.
That's why.
Swear to God.
And they were all drinking Johnny Juice.
I told you it's special. Yeah, bet, thanks so much for being here. Dennis from the Glam Band. Dan and Kim Weber. Timekeeper Distillery Green Bay and Wausau. Mine on the Mayor's Top Craft Brewery Pick. Coming up next.
The national news cycle never stops. but it can be hard to find news about your local community. Civic Media is dedicated to providing quality local and state news coverage across Wisconsin. With the Civic Media app, you can get notifications about local stories that matter to you and your community. Find the free Civic Media app in your phone's app store and choose notifications from the menu to tell us what kind of news you want to hear about.